The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to a truly historic Bugle. Bugle issue 150. A very, very special Bugle indeed, because this 150th Bugle is the official Bugle gift to future King William and future Queen Kate, or future Duchess of some minor English provincial town, but I'm sure it'll work out. But, I mean, statistically, let's just cover our bases. Recent form hasn't been that great, that's all. But anyway, happy wedding! Here is our gift to you, Mr. Prince and Miss. I am Andy Zaltzman, currently around 2 billionth in line to the throne, and I'm here live and exclusively in the city where it's all going to happen. London, and in New York City, where none of it is going to happen, is the man who is 14th in line to the throne, John Oliver.
Hello, Andy. Hello, Buglers. Andy, happy Good Friday.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Happy Good Friday. Yep. It's a day when you successfully brought a man to justice.
Yeah, that's right.
The system works.
Literally bang to rights.
Paul was saying here that there's a Good Friday offer of power tools.
Too soon. Slightly
difficult taste. I'm just not sure now is exactly the time. Maybe do it Sunday. You just really don't want to be looking up nail gun offers on Good Friday. Well, as you know, Andy, I was actually in London the last couple of days, and you know, it was a real pleasure to be back in the big smoke. Old Smoky, Andy.
Yep.
Smokesville. Smoky Town. Mayor of Smoky Town, of course. So smokes a lot. I was in London for a couple of days working, and while I was there, Andy and I had a meal in Chinatown that frankly had so much chilli in it. I'm still feeling the aftershocks now. It was like someone had set a fire inside my face and then carefully tended to it for the next 9 hours, lest it lose any of its flamey intensity. You could have toasted marshmallows on my tongue, Andy. That was an establishment that did not fear the chilli. They were not afraid to harness the fire pepper and sprinkle it indiscriminately. In fact, the waitress at the start of the meal had warned us, even offering, you know, whether we'd like to order the regular dishes a little bit milder. But I always take that as either a challenge, an insult, or an insulting challenge. Either way, we collectively scoffed at her for her advice, and about after around my third spoonful of chili lamb, I realised that I was out of my depth, and I had inadvertently just stepped into a spice thunderdome. And not to put too fine a point on it, I got pounded by the pepper, Andy. It was Chili Pepper 1, John Oliver 0.
Right.
I don't know how you scored your matchup.
Well, I think it was probably a solid 2-2 draw. But I've been chili training in India for a couple of months, so you know, I was.
Oh, that's very wise.
Fully up to speed. But yeah, didn't take any prisoners that meal, certainly, other than the lamb, which was certainly taken prisoner and killed, and its dismembered body served to us on a plate. So this is Bugle 150, meaning, John, there are now the same number of bugles as psalms in the Bible.
That is
only counting the official psalms, not including those psalms that didn't make the final edit, including Psalm 164, The Lord's a Doozy, Psalm 231, Almighty Lord, put a word in for me with that hot chick at the well, and Psalm 245, you can stick your f***ing juice up your arse. And of course, the unforgettable Psalm 300, only God can get this kebab stick out of my eye. So, 150 also the number that Captain Scott counted up to in his semi-final defeat by Captain Oates in the 1912 British Hide-and-Seek Championships.
Mm-hmm.
Good sportsman, of course, Captain Scott. Didn't even peek between his fingers, and a terrific win for Oates. Bit of showboating on his way out, of course. Maybe sometime. Some would call that cocky, John. I just call it confident. A man who knew how good he was at hide-and-seek and knew how far he was prepared to go to win. And also, 150 is the commonly used value of Dunbar's number. Now, do you know what Dunbar's number is, John?
No.
Well, John, let me inform you on that. It's a theoretical cognitive limit to the number of people with whom one can maintain stable social relationships. From the Scottish sociologist, right. Mr. Dunbar. 150, I'd go along with that, John. I've got one wife, two kids, you, Chris, and 145 honeys.
That's where Berlusconi went wrong, John. It was fine when he was only hanging around with 149 teenage prostitutes. But as soon as he tipped it over the 150 mark, it all started falling to pieces. It all started going tits up, or at least even more tits up. But I say that, of course, I do consider myself a very close personal friend of all 7 billion actual and potential buglers. So there you go. As you said, we are recording on Good Friday. So as we speak, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the prominent Middle East-based magician and raconteur, was giving his post-crucifixion press conference. Saying, yeah, well, obviously it's disappointing to be crucified, but I'm confident I'm going to bounce back very strongly from this, and quickly as well, and hopefully we'll come to see it as a turning point in my career and use it as a motivation for coming up on top of the Romans long term. What's that? No, I'm not cross with the gaffer at all, and obviously I didn't want to be crucified, but, you know, he's the boss, he does what's best for the team, and I'm happy to go along with that. The rib injury, it's not too bad. Couple of stitches, should be fine in a few days. Yeah, obviously I was a little bit disappointed in Peter, but, you know, he's been a terrific disciple for a long time. Very experienced, super influence amongst the lads, and, yeah, we all make mistakes, and I'm sure he'll make up for it in time. Lovely apostle, the boy, never gives up. Sorry, can you repeat that? Well, Iscariot has left the team. That was his decision. We're not really happy with how he left, but, you know, that's what happens when you're found in a religion. People come and go, and you just got to get on with it. And Judas, or the Carrot, as we used to call him, well, he's got a young family to think about, and you can have a very short career as a disciple, so I can understand him taking the big money offer. But, yeah, I guess we are disappointed by the manner in which he left. Yeah, we've got the lad Matthias coming in. He's a good lad, a lot of promise. I'm sure he'll do a terrific job. No, that's it. I'm afraid I've got to go for some physio. Quite a lot of physio. There you go. Happy Easter, everyone. It's all there in the Gospel according to Alvin.
Top story this week. F*** everything else that's happening in the world. The wedding is nearly here. Andy, I know I'm not alone in thinking this, because the sheer number of news crews that have been descending all week on London, the 32-time capital of the entire world. But the upcoming royal wedding is the only thing that anyone in their right mind should be giving a shit about at the moment. I think most international news organisations are going to be sending a very coherent message over the next 7 days, and that message is, Yemen, f*** it. Syria, it. Fukushima nuclear plant, it. Royal weddings, yeah! The scene of elaborate media centre construction outside Buckingham Palace is really a sight to behold. If aliens were to land on Earth and were to park their ship on the mall leading up to Buckingham Palace and saw the sheer amount of media trucks, camera positions and broadcast satellites built on the side of the road, they would think, well, this must be the most important thing happening on the planet right now. There can clearly be no bad things happening anywhere else at this one time. So focused are these humans on this single event. These must be the two most important people on Earth. And you know what? They'd be right, Andy. Because as we've said before, the world is in such a precarious, troubled place at the moment that it seems that we're all using this event as an emotional anaesthetic just to dull the pain of life on Earth. In fact, the most appropriate song for William and Kate to walk down the aisle to after the wedding would be Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd. And the crowds of people lining the streets shouldn't be shouting and cheering. They should be blissfully muttering to themselves like someone who was just injected with methadone. Oh, congratulations on the wedding. Oh, that felt so good. Oh, shit, I think it's already wearing off. When I was a child, I found a reason.
Now, just to get to the studio in Wapping today, John, I had to fight through crowds 30 or 40 deep along the roads, already queuing up for the wedding in 7 days' time. And estimated crowds of 1.75 billion royal worshippers will line the streets of London to wave hands, fists and middle fingers at the happy couple. And, you know, it is, as you said, it's clearly, I think, you know, the greatest, most important thing ever. Probably since the Big Bang or more important than the Big Bang. So I don't know. All I know is that in a few million years' time, there'll be a particle accelerator in Switzerland trying to recreate the royal wedding. They won't quite manage it, but, you know, it'll be worth a go.
I know lots of people, especially in England, are uncomfortable over the amount of coverage that this story is getting. But I say to them, give in to it! Shut up and give in to it! Royal fever is in the air, Andy. Let's all go out in the cold without wearing a hat and catch it.
But moving on to the rest of the world now, and Libya news. And the situation in Libya continues to descend into a seemingly irretrievable slough of chaos as casualties mount and the bloodshed spreads, with NATO caught in a seemingly intractable problem of having to...
Shut up, Andy! Shut up, Andy! That has nothing to do with the wedding! Royal wedding news again now! And Prince Charles has apparently just become a record holder, Andy.
Oh,
what
yeah.
is that record? Is it the largest number of grapes one man can fit in his mouth? No. Is it no, the number
he
of cartwheels done...
He broke that 6 years ago, John. 183.
Is it the number of cartwheels done across the roof of Windsor Castle? Nearly, but not quite. Prince Charles has just become the longest-serving heir apparent in British history. And that's no mean feat, Andy. That is some achievement. You have to do nothing for a really, really long time. I'll say that I've been waiting for 33 years to become King of England, and I don't know if I'll be able to wait as long as 59 years like he has to become King. I just don't have that kind of patience. I think I'll snap and try and overthrow the crown long before then. It really is a long time to not be doing the only thing that you're actually supposed to be doing, though. He has been riding the bench for nearly six decades. He's beaten the previous record that was held by his great-great-grandfather, King Edward Edward VII. I nearly said King Kong there. King Edward VII. Not King Kong II. And, you know, I've got a sense that Charles is going to end up setting a record that is going to be so huge, it's going to make Edward VII look like a pushy little shit.
And to be fair to Edward VII, he did spend most of the time he was waiting banging anything that moved, by all accounts. So, I don't know if... he might have enjoyed his waiting time a little bit more.
But you're right, Andy, there are some significant events happening in the world that are not wedding-related. Nigerian election news now! And good luck, Jonathan, the greatest named leader on the planet right now, won the Nigerian election this week, and...
Shut up, John! I've just got some exclusive royal wedding gift list news now, and the gift list has been leaked by a source in the palace. And what do you buy for the couple who already has everything, John?
Oh, I don't know.
Apart from an anti-paparazzi shield. What is on the list is a set of 40 million matching dinner plates, soup bowls and teacups in case they ever feel like entertaining all the people who funded their wedding to the tune of around 18 pence each. Also his and hers rocket packs. I mean, enough said. When you're a member of the royal family in the 21st century, you should have a rocket pack. Also an Edward VI memorial toaster, which chars the toast beyond recognition, and then pops it out, cut into the shape of a Catholic. And a couple of sports crowns, John. The ideal crown for the active young royal couple. Elasticated sports crowns enable them to still be a prince and princess even when exercising, you know, playing polo or wrestling. Kate Middleton was, in fact, the former British University's Greco-Roman welterweight champion, fighting under the name of Aphrodite Caesar. Indeed, when they're playing the ancient sport of pig snorkeling, which is fairly self-explanatory and not recommended for the kosher aware. Or you could go off course and buy some Anne Boleyn memorabilia, but that might, of course, cause a little bit of division.
It's also been announced that the Queen has finally met up, Andy, with Kate Middleton's parents. Now, people were shocked when they found out that she'd not been in the least bit bothered to meet up with them at any point during William and Kate's long relationship, even though they were at the same events a number of times. And when asked about it, a palace spokesman had said she has not met them and has no plans to do so before the wedding. Ouch! They got Queen slapped, Andy. Q-tip just served you up cold. But apparently, they had lunch together a couple of days ago, and wow, that must have been an extremely awkward lunch. Tough to find any small talk areas there. What do you do? We run a party favour business. Oh, how delightful. What do you do? Well, I'm the Queen. I'm Kind of a figurehead, mostly. Sounds nice. Yes. Can we get the cheque, please? Well, do you take taxpayer?
Well, it's all very well done, but it's time to focus on some of the serious stuff that's going on in the world.
You're right.
Japan updates now, and the Japanese government has announced a 4 trillion yen, that's around about,
shut
say, 50...
Shut up, Andy! Shut up! That is not wedding-related! Shut up! Oh, sorry, Andy, what was that going to be wedding-related?
Well, I guess indirectly. I mean, it's a 50
shut
billion
up!
Emergency budget for disaster relief. But I guess that means they're not going to give quite as much to the wedding fund. So I guess that's tangentially related.
Shut up, Andy! If it's not directly related, I do not want to hear
it. Well, I guess it's maybe trying to stop Kate Middleton suffering radiation sickness emanating from Japan before the big day on Friday.
OK, I'll let it stand.
OK, good.
In other royal wedding news... It's been revealed that Prime Minister David Cameron will, in fact, wear tails to the wedding. By which I mean a morning suit. Not that he's going to wear the tail of a zebra, a horse and a squirrel on the back of his trousers.
Okay, it's not going to be a game of pin the tail on the Prime Minister.
No. He had said that he was going to wear a leisure suit, as he did not want to be seen being too elitist.
A leisure suit? What's that? A shell suit? A polyester tracksuit?
Yeah. He didn't want to be seen as being too elitist in these time of austerity measures. But you know what? He's going to the fucking royal wedding. That's about as elite as it gets. Yeah. Knock yourself out and wear a monocle. I don't think anyone's going to watch him in a normal suit saying, oh, look, there's Dave. The way he's dressed reminds me of all those royal weddings that I have attended in my past. In of course, a similarly calculated man of the people suit. And this might seem like a very trivial story to have found out about. So how have I found out about that information, Andy? I'll tell you how. It was on the front page of the Guardian newspaper yesterday. The front page. Just underneath a story about how President al-Bashir of Sudan is taking full responsibility for the conflict in Darfur. And I know what you're thinking. How did the Guardian lead with that over the story about what David Cameron's wearing to the wedding? I can only assume it was a printing error and that they will be printing a full apology tomorrow.
If he's really worried about people thinking he's elitist, then what he needs to do is never open his mouth again.
But look, Andy, we've had a bit of fun, but the fact is the world is in turmoil at the moment and there's plenty of things so that we need to be talking about, OK? Yeah. Haitian update now, and Michel Martelly has officially been declared Haitian president.
Yada, 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 John. No one cares, John. No one cares about that. That is, at best, other news. Because the details of Princess Kate Middleton's dress have just emerged. It has turned out that she will be the first ever princess to wear a royal wedding dress that is wireless compatible. She will, as all brides are supposed to, be wearing something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. Not only is that a pretty good guide for how to put together a 20-minute club stand-up set, but it's... I think most comedians abide by that. But it's also a guide for how brides are supposed to dress, and Kate Middleton's old thing will be... she'll be wearing, as a scarf, Britain's oldest woman, 110-year-old Enid McSlythe, who will travel in a special remote-control cart under the train of the dress as she walks up the aisle, and as a scarf when outside in the spring air. The new thing will be a newborn lamb... born within an hour of the start of the wedding, fresh from its mummy sheep. In accordance with a royal tradition dating back to when Queen Mary I married Philip of Spain, who turned up with a selection of calves, lambs, foals and eggs, and said, thought these might inspire you to get up the duff, love. The something borrowed is that she'll be arriving at Westminster Abbey by sailing up the Thames in the USS Gladiator, then taking ex-Rolling Stone Bill Wyman's Apache helicopter to the Abbey, and... The something blue, she'll be wearing a bra made out of Miles Davis's trumpet. And also, she will be wearing a pair of Queen Victoria's massive knickers, as taken from the most famous and copious buttocks ever to adorn the British throne, and a pair of Elizabeth I's fishnet stockings that she kept in case of emergencies when she had to hammer out a negotiation with a particularly angry foreign king. She's also had the L plate that her friends drunkenly tattooed onto her back on her hen night surgically removed for the day.
In other royal news, Kate Middleton's family has had a new coat of arms designed, which will feature on a souvenir royal wedding programme. Her father, Michael Middleton, apparently commissioned the design to mark this special occasion. It features three acorn sprigs, one for each of the Middleton's children. And royal experts say the coat of arms cost about £4,400 to make, and it marks the increased social status of her parents and her potential as a future queen. And, well, for a start, you've got to have a coat of arms, Andy. I don't think anyone's denying that. And it certainly seems like money well spent. But three acorns? That's the best you could come up with. Have you seen William's coat of arms? It's got three lions, two crowns, and a fucking unicorn on it. Three acorns doesn't really cut it next to that. At least have a moth fighting a badger in the middle of the acorns or something. Plus,
three acorns is just a disappointing snack for a pig. That is inappropriate for the wife of the future heirs to the throne.
Plus, William's is shaped like a shield, whilst the Middleton's is, and I quote, said to be shaped like an elaborate lozenge. What? Who wants to carry an elaborate lozenge into war? That's not going to make you feel safe or special. I tell you what we need, though, Andy. An official bugle coat of arms. We need to start classing up this joint a bit. Maybe a shield with panels showing Delonte West firing a gun in the air, Joanna the Mad screaming something incoherent at traffic, you delivering a baby, all alongside Florence Nightingale sliding down a stripper pole. I'm just throwing those ideas out there. Yeah. Those are just ideas. I'm just getting the ball rolling.
Well, what if buglers, if you have any bugle coat of arms you want to draw and send in, do email them to thebugle@timesonline.co.uk. And I've got a prize for the best entry, and that is some royal wedding memorabilia from the 1981 royal wedding, the Charles and Diana, some very fetching mugs. My wife and I inherit. Chris has just drawn two penises and balls on a bit of paper. Is that your effort for the bugle coat of arms?
That is my entry, yeah.
Is that an homage to the St. Petersburg Bridge and the roof wire?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I just thought you'd approve of some cock and balls. Yeah.
So there is some. There is a Charles and Diana mug for the best entries. And I will also, if you want, I will smash that mug before I put it in the post. It's up to you. So please, with your entry, please specify whether you want the mug intact or smashed. So, I mean, surely smashed is more symbolically appropriate, you'd have thought.
Apparently, for the wedding as well, we're also bringing soldiers back from Afghanistan so that there can be one every 5 feet along the mall standing to attention. And, I mean, Andy, what says thank you for your service more than flying troops home and saying, all right, just stand motionless there in the sunshine for an hour before flying them straight back to a war zone? We couldn't be demonstrating any more gratitude.
And in a gesture of goodwill and reconciliation, the Taliban are also sending some of their top operatives to also line the routes to Westminster Abbey. So it's bringing people together, John. It's bringing the world together. It's the greatest thing ever. Armageddon update now, and it turns out that the hole in the ozone layer above Antarctica is to blame for Australia's recent spate of droughts, signalling that perhaps this might be a really bad time for humanity.
Boring! Boring!
Yeah, fair point.
Sorry, Andy, is that ozone layer hole directly above Westminster Abbey where the wedding's taking place? Because if it's not, I couldn't give a shit about it! Royal wedding update again now! And, Andy, people across Wales are being given the chance to leave wedding messages in congratulation books for Prince William and Kate Middleton. That is lovely. Messages can be left at government offices across Wales. And apparently the books will then be compiled into a suitable volume to present to the newlyweds after the wedding. I'm guessing that's after they've carefully removed all the obscene messages, insults and penis drawings. Now,
That's a very dim view of British humanity, John.
It's the opposite of a dim view, Andy. It is putting all my hope and expectation into what you do when you're confronted with an official royal guest book and you have a pen in your hand.
Is that very much the view of a man who some time ago was similarly confronted by the contents of the message board on the website of the female snooker referee, Michaela Tabb, which showed that people and comments cannot be trusted together.
It shows that employing a moderator for a guest book is an essential item.
And certainly allowing a female snooker referee and a 15-year-old boy to share the same space on the internet is ill-advisable.
Now, it seems a shame that only people that live near these guest books in Wales can attempt to send stupid messages to the royal couple, so we'd like to open up an official Bugle Royal Wedding Guest Book. So if you have a message that you'd like to send the happy couple, then email it in, and we will read out a selection of your best wishes in next week's feature section of the Bugle, only hours after they've either got married or played one of the boldest practical jokes on the British public since King George II declared war on Brazil. The wedding isn't until next week, Andy. You know, it's 7 days away. But there's just no way that I can wait that long now. I'm too pumped up. I've paced my excitement terribly. And welcome now to the speculorium.
Various. That sounds pretty medical.
It's supposed to be. Various bookies are already taking bets on various aspects of the wedding, and it's everything from how long Kate's train will be to whether or not Prince Harry will drop the ring. And there's a very interesting bet on what the main course is going to be at the wedding reception at Paddy Power. Roast beef is favourite at 10-1. Salmon is second favourite at 12-1. But if you're in the market for an outside bet, you can get corgi at 500-1.
How are we going to know for sure, though, John? Because that is quite easy to disguise as something else. I mean, just think of what we ate in the Chinese restaurant the other day, John. I mean, some of that was, you know, I'm trust them, but some of that was fairly indistinguishable.
But thing is, 500-1 is actually quite appealing odds. That means if 500 people are dining, the odds are that one of them is going to be eating a corgi with a very guilty look on their face. And odds are that that one person is going to be the queen.
Yes, well, that'll teach him not to sit when one tells him to sit. I'm sending a message to the rest of the corgis. I'm not messing around, y'all. If I say fetch, I expect a stick at my feet within 25 seconds or one is getting the Tabasco sauce out.
Majesty magazine is also speculating wildly over which horses are going to pull the carriage with William and Kate in from Westminster Abbey to Buckingham Palace. According to the magazine, there are apparently 10 Windsor Greys among the 34 horses in the Royal Mews, including, I quote, the spirited Jason and Claudia. But it's not clear which horses are getting it yet. And to which I say this, Andy, come on, Buckingham Palace, just give the job to Jason and Claudia. I can't take the anticipation anymore. It's killing me. I just hope that Jason doesn't choke on the day, Andy.
Yep.
Let the nerves get to him and just take a massive shit as he's pulling the carriage along.
Or if he, you know, falls over and has to be surrounded with a tarpaulin of mercy. I mean, that would put a real dampener on the day. I mean, it's the kindest thing, of course, but
yeah. You know. Kate Middleton gets out of the carriage with a shotgun in her hand, holds it towards the horse's head, looks over towards Prince William, who just gives a solemn nod.
In a tradition as old as time itself.
Even more royal wedding news now, and two roses named after Prince William and Kate Middleton have been planted.
Stop, John,
in
that
Windsor
is not wedding-y enough. I'm going to have to interrupt you with some even more royal wedding news. An update on how the royal wedding is being celebrated around the world. In Belgium, they are celebrating with special commemorative royal wedding waffles. stick with what you know. Shapes like Prince William and the future Queen Middleton affectionately pecking each other on the cheek whilst doused in syrup. In Bahrain, the government has agreed that all protesters arrested during the royal wedding will be beaten up by having commemorative William and Kate mugs and plates smashed on their heads before being waterboarded using a souvenir tea towel depicting the happy couple. In Libya, Colonel Gaddafi has promised that he will suspend attacks on the rebel-held areas of the country until all international news crews have returned from the royal wedding. Gaddafi said it would be a shame if they missed out on any of the action. Gaddafi also sent a goodwill message to the prince saying, "She ain't blonde, she ain't Ukrainian, she ain't voluptuous, she ain't a nurse, not a qualified one anyway, but best of luck. And you have my eternal gratitude for scheduling your nuptials in such a way as to distract the entire world from my little domestic hoo-ha. Cheers, big horse. Boom, boom." And in North Korea, Kim Jong-il will mark the wedding by watching thousands of his soldiers march around stupidly whilst parading great big weapons up and down Pyongyang High Street. Why change a winning formula? It's what the people want. If by the people you mean little Kim and his buddies. So that's all happening. Also, there are, of course, a number of ancient bylaws, John, here in Britain, your former country, that come into play only on the special occasion of a royal wedding. So during a royal wedding, you may ride a sheep along any public thoroughfare, provided that you are singing a sea shanty or reciting Milton's Paradise Lost, either the original version or the later Limerick version Milton wrote when he realised he needed to lighten the f*** up about stuff. Also on royal wedding days, you may paint your neighbour's horse. You may also shave his dog, but only so that the fur on his back isn't the pattern of the Union Jack. And you are also allowed to form a militia of up to 50 men from a maximum of 3 villages and burn down the houses of anyone who looks a little bit Spanish. That dates back to Armada times. Of course, this is not the first ever royal wedding. There have been royal weddings before. And it's time now to dig into the Bugle archives. Back to 1934 and the marriage of Prince George, the son of King George V. He was the Duke of Kent, Prince George, and he married Princess Marina of Greece and Denmark. Two-time Princess Marina, of course. And this comes from, in fact, the archives of the BBC. This exclusive recording from 1934.
And a very warm welcome to the BBC Imperium programme. I am Hubert Scratch, and joining me in the Abbey today is our royalty and subservience correspondent, Mr. Stanley Grankerton. And Stanley, one has to say that on this very special day, the Abbey is looking absolutely resplendent.
It certainly is, Hubert. Well done, God. Terrific effort from the big man. Certainly a good decision to strip off that layer of glittery pink paint that Queen Victoria insisted on having. Flowers everywhere. Some freshly slaughtered tigers representing the natural world.
Oh, yes, it's some of them still twitching, in fact. A truly wonderful sight and an even more wonderful smell. And here comes the prince with that characteristic hop of his.
Yeah. There he goes, Hubert. That famous stag night really got out of hand.
Certainly did, Stanley. Doesn't look like it's growing back in a hurry. He stops at the entrance to the abbey and... yes, whack! 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 Whack again! He ceremonially beats a representative from every nation of the empire with his special wedding stick. And a specially resounding whacking for the Indian ambassador there.
Well played. Well played. Super strike there. And there's another one! Get stuck in, lad. That's it. That's it. Guess that should stifle any thought of independence for a few decades. Marvellous stuff.
Yeah, wonderful technique from the friend of Prince. Controlled backswing, rhythmical downthwack, and a lovely snap of the wrist to accelerate the whack at the moment of contact.
So reminiscent, Hubert, of his great father, who will be a very proud king today.
Yes, the prince has gone in with a mahogany stick today for a more solid whack on his special occasion, rather than the greater flexion and snap of the birch. The shiny brass tip and silver hand in the shape of a Victorian prostitute glinting in the Westminster sunlight. That's Edward VII's old stick, of course, and my goodness me, was that used well.
Oh, rather, that stick has been serviced on an awfully large number of batons. Aha, that's it, right. Rather amusing incident there, Hubert. The Archbishop of Canterbury, the unfathomably Reverend Vladimir Scraffleyard, he stubbed his toe on the font, and I'm afraid to say he rather let himself down linguistically there.
Did he? I'll take your word for that, Stanley. I'm afraid it is not a term I'm acquainted with.
Well, that surprises me, Hubert. I'd have imagined you heard it quite a lot. And the groom is ceremonially fondling the princess's chambermaids now. Some excellently thorough groping going on there. And yes, yes, it looks like he's very well satisfied that none of them is quite, cuddleable as the princess herself.
And that's a very great relief for everyone, Stanley. No one wanted to see another Louis the Fourth of Hesse and Princess Alice incident.
Yes, that lady has a quite ferociously vengeful slap upon her.
And the Archbishop now is just checking the prince for syphilis. Yes, he's in the clear. That's good. That's good.
That makes a nice change.
And here it is. That toot of the trumpets can mean only one thing. Yes.
Lovely.
Yes, it
lovely.
Is. Princess
lovely.
Time. And
yes.
Here comes
come
Princess Marina now.
There she is.
Into the abbey.
Oh.
And...
Oh, lordy. Hecate heck. My word.
Oh, yeah.
Will you look at that? Good golly, Miss Molly.
In the name of King George, I think every man in the Empire would not mind doing his duty with that.
Oh, mercy. Mercy, mercy me. I don't mind telling you. I wouldn't mind dipping it in that, Hubert.
Dip away, Stanley. It's a Stilton and chive mayonnaise my wife made for my packed lunch. Carrot?
Don't mind if I do, Hubert.
Bit of fun.
Bit of harmless fun.
No offence, Your Majesty.
So there you go, straight from 1934, and many thanks to the BBC for allowing us to use that very special record.
Your emails now, and, well, unsurprisingly, we cannot accept any emails this week that were not royal wedding related. Even though we've had some very interesting ones, we have one from a bugler in Pakistan, Ali Farooqi, so hello to Ali. And I guess there's some kind of mistake, you didn't email about the royal wedding. That's, I'm going to think the best of that and say it's a mistake rather than an insult. And also we have another email from a member of the Israeli Defence Force. So there you go. It's always interesting to hear just how broad the bugle is going, that we can crop spray bullshit on a global scale. So hello to you too.
Yep, but your emails are simply not royal wedding related enough, and so we're going to have to save them for a week where there isn't a royal wedding coming up. I think that's fair. I think that's entirely fair. Maybe next week. Might have to give it 2 weeks, a bit of breathing space. But sport now. No sport, only weddings. So that wraps up this week's Bugle. Bugle, of course, is the official podcast of the Royal Wedding, subject to legal clarification and to Buckingham Palace stumping up the wage for being associated with Hollywood's John Oliver. But we will be the only media outlet providing live coverage of the wedding, although our coverage won't be live and there may be illegal streams leaked onto the internet and television. But this 150th Bugle is our gift to William and Kate. This bugle, in fact, will be played to the congregation in the event of a no-show as well. So it's a very special royal wedding bugle. And buglers, I do hope that... I hope that you enjoy the day, and also I hope that you can enjoy the rest of your lives. They don't just seem like a massive, pointless anticlimax after after next Friday, because it's really hard. In a way, it would be kind of nice if... there's like a massive asteroid strike on Westminster Abbey that destroys humanity just after they've completed the ceremony.
Just I now pronounce you man and kaboom!
Well, it's just hard to see how the planet and the species can ever really top that.
Yeah, we got one more fun day as a species before we all stare collectively into the abyss.
That's right. I believe that's what Prince Charles said on his wedding morning as well.
Have a lovely week, buglers.
Goodbye. So, John, do you know what the etiquette is on banging princesses these days?
I don't, Andy. It's a grey area, I think. I'll have to refer to my etiquette book on that.